Welcome, everybody. You are now listening to the Monique Rodriguez, the Secret Sauce to Success podcast show. Well, I will be sharing tips on business, being a God-fearing wife, a mom, an entrepreneur, and I'm also going to do a few boss interviews on this podcast show. So thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to download and subscribe to my podcast show because you are in for a treat. So welcome everyone to another episode of the Secret Sauce to Success podcast show where I'm the host, Monique Rodriguez, and I am so grateful and honored that you are tuned in once again for another week to hear about business, life, being a mom, wife, entrepreneur, everything that I decide to share on this podcast. I'm thankful that you tune in every week to listen to this podcast. And thank you for downloading and subscribing. As always, I appreciate all of my listeners. So today I am going to talk about five successful traits of CEOs. And I decided to talk about this subject because I actually did a masterclass last week with my Secret Sauce membership group. And I discussed the realness of being a CEO and the behind the scenes of what it takes to be a CEO. And I wanted to talk about this subject because I just feel that social media glorifies being a business owner, and it glorifies being a business owner as that you're going to be rich, that you're going to be wealthy, and all of this is going to happen overnight. And it does not happen overnight. There is a lot of behind the scenes that is not shown on social media. And I try to be as real and transparent with people to let them know, like, look, I work more being a CEO than I did when I worked in my career being a nurse. When I worked as a nurse, I would work 12 hours, come home, and not give a care about work and not think about it until it was time for me to go back to my shift. When I am a CEO, my own boss, I'm like constantly thinking of my business pretty much 24/7. And I have to like mentally tell myself, okay, I'm not going to talk about business. I'm not going to sit down and write ideas because I tend to like to like get in a quiet space and just like get my thoughts out. And this weekend was just proof that, you know, I really had that downtime and really didn't focus on business. You know, I had friends and family over for, you know, dinner yesterday over the weekend. And I really just enjoyed the people that were around me, my family, you know, swimming in the pool, just doing things that I really love. Like, I love being outdoors and doing things that I love. Just to really help get my mind off of business so I can come back to work on a Monday and have that type of clarity in order for me to be whole and for me to continue to pour into my team and to pour into everyone that's around me. Like, I have to have that reset. So, you know, there is no one telling you what to do when you are a CEO. Like, you have to be motivated. You have to be driven to do this. And that's why you have to do something that you love, because if you don't love what you're doing, you're not going to be motivated to get up and go to work every day. Like, I was excited to come to work, and because I had a great weekend, you know, I felt refreshed, my mind was right, and I was just excited to get up on Monday and come to work. And I'm actually sitting here recording this podcast this Monday morning for you guys because I'm just like on 10 right now, and I really want to pour into you and really feed you spiritually, mentally, and just let you know that you can do this. And there are certain traits that you must have in order to be a successful CEO. And that's what I'm going to talk about in this episode. Like, what are some of those traits that you need to have when you are a successful CEO? But before we get into this episode, you know, I like to read my reviews, and this review is really special to me because this is from Angela C. Styles. And Angela, I took her course. She did a course on just business and learning how to brand and market, like, way before I even started my Yale, I was really just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And her class was one of the first classes that I took as a new entrepreneur. So we've worked with her as a platform, Hairstylist. So I really love Angela. And I'm so excited that she left me a review. So thank you, Angela, if you're listening to this. And she says, Mo, I'm so proud of you for this. I know it was out of your comfort zone, but everything you talk about is so insightful and inspiring. I've had a front row seat watching your growth and success, and I couldn't be more proud of you for creating this platform. Tens all across the board. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm like, oh, blushing, because this means a lot, because she has been front row seat of seeing Mayel grow from, like I said, before I even started this brand, I was taking her class, really trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And the funny thing is, she actually grew up with my husband, which he's the one that told me about her class. And he was like, yeah, I grew up with her. I was like, you didn't grow up with her. You don't know her. And come to find out, he really did know her. And I took her class and we worked together several times. So I really love Angela. I'm a fan of hers. And so this review really means a lot to me. So before we get into this episode, here's a word from our sponsors. So when it comes to running a company, there used to be a myth that successful CEOs were 6'4 white men who graduated from Ivy League universities. Surely their Ivy League grooming made them perfect for the job, right? Well, today we're going to talk about why almost anyone can become a successful CEO and not just what the stereotype stated what a CEO should be or should look like. In short, it all goes back to your experience, how you learn to connect with others and make important decisions. And I've talked about this before with you guys, that I had to learn how to connect with people in my career as a nurse. I had to learn how to get my patients to trust me when I'm giving them medications, I'm starting IVs, you know, I'm dealing with their lives. So I had to connect with them in order for them to trust me. And those same principles I apply to my current business today, connecting with people, letting people feel comfortable with me and trusting me and building up my credibility, because obviously I know what I'm doing, right? Of course I do. So how you learn how to connect with others and make important decisions goes back to what it takes to become a successful CEO. According to Elena Bothello, Kim Powell, and Diana Wang, who wrote the book The CEO Next Door, stated that connecting with others and making important decisions are the things that will make you a successful CEO. This book is based on over 10 years of researching the traits of successful CEOs and what they call the CEO Genome Project. What these ladies found was that the things that make a board of directors hire a CEO did not actually make him or her a good CEO in the end. They figured out that most successful CEOs didn't look on paper the way a board probably would want them to look. Okay, let that sink in. One example is having past failures or blunders. Successful CEOs have a sense of perseverance because they've had to overcome bad decisions in the past. And I know that too well. You have to learn how to persevere. They usually don't have a squeaky clean record, and it serves them well. And I talked about this as well on my Instagram. You're going to make mistakes, okay? Things are going to happen and you just learn from them. You have to learn to persevere. So this feeds into the second trait of successful CEOs. They are relationship builders. Because they have had challenges along the way, they are more likely to be relatable and have relationship building skills that are crucial for getting the buy-in from their employees. So just think about this. So have you ever had a boss who just didn't know how to let their hair down and be a real person? I know I have, and I'm sure you've came across people like that. Or maybe they were always cranky and took out their personal issues on the rest of whoever was around them, their team, whoever was in their presence. People who are out of touch with their teams don't make good leaders because they won't earn the trust that's necessary for overall success. So continuing down this path, successful CEOs are reliable too. The woman who did this study learned that people who were reliable made better CEOs. Again, that trust factor. When your employees know what to expect from you, that you're down for the cause, and that you are about them and you hold yourself to the high standards that you expect of them, you can do your job better, and so can they. So this goes back to building trust in you as a CEO. But let's say you don't have employees and you're just a one-man operation, because you're probably sitting at home like, well, I don't have a whole team yet. You're gonna get there. So just if you're a one-man operation and your customers and clients need to know that they can count on you just as well as your team will eventually know the same thing. Your customers and clients, they got to know that they can count on you when to deliver, when they do business with you. That's how you keep your customers happy. And those customers turn into repeat customers and repeat business. So are you noticing a pattern here yet? Everything that I've mentioned so far had to do with interpersonal relationships, how you treat other people, how your actions are perceived by others. When you treat people the right way, they'll do just about anything for you. You don't have to coax them or browbeat them. They'll just do it just because they feel like you have a stake in their well-being. You know, it doesn't hurt to be nice to people. Like, you can get things done without having to be, you know, the B word. And you can still get it done by being nice to people, because people are going to treat you how you treat them. Okay? It's okay to be nice to people. It's very simple. So when you have a stake in your employees' well-being, just think about it. If you overwork your employees and they become sick, how will they get their work done? You'll end up spending extra time and resources either bringing someone in to do their work, or you'll get their workload dumped on you or another employee, which starts a new cycle all over again. So this is actually one area that I constantly hear other hiring professionals warning CEOs against: this, not overworking your employees. Hiring professionals want you to know that people leave people, not jobs. And I'm also a firm believer that people fire themselves. You don't fire people. People fire themselves. It's the same concept. They are not going to leave your job just because, you know, the workload is too heavy or et cetera. They're going to leave because maybe they don't like doing business or working for you. People leave people, not jobs. If people just left jobs, why would they leave and end up doing the same thing at another company that they did at the employer that they just left? It wasn't the work that pushed them out. It was the people that they had to work with. That's not always directly attributed to the CEO, but it does reflect on that CEO. Sometimes you have managers that are under the CEO that are the ones that's causing the problem. But if the CEO sits back and does nothing, that reflects on his or her ability to lead. So put that into perspective. If I have an employer that comes to me and they're not comfortable with the people that they're working with, it is my job to figure out how to solve that problem, because at the end of the day, I want to keep my employees happy. Granted, you can't please and keep everybody happy, but at least I want to try my best and try to come to a solution to keep my employees happy so they enjoy coming to work. So this brings me to my next point. Successful CEOs are proactive. They are visionaries who don't mind putting policies and procedures in place to protect the company and the employees. A good CEO is like a good head of the household or a parent. They can see down the road, if the company makes this move, how is this going to affect? So they'll say, instead of option A, we need to take option B, because that gives us the best outcome. Successful CEOs know where they want to see the organization years from now. So you have to be a visionary in order to see the future. And a successful CEO can figure out how they can make that happen starting today. In a lot of cases, they work backwards from where they want the company to be and think, what systems do we need to set in place to make that happen? And then what do we need to do to start to make that happen? CEOs keep working backwards in their mind all the way back to today. And this doesn't mean that they always have all the answers, because I know I definitely don't have all the answers, but I know where I want to go. And it doesn't mean that roadblocks won't come up, but successful CEOs try to plan for that. And I always say, I started this company, this was my vision. I'm a visionary person. I took a personality test, and my number one trait was a visionary. So again, I know where I want my company to go, and I work backwards from that. And that's also what I teach in my mentorship program. I start out with setting goals for my mentees, because it's all about having that vision. If you have no vision, if you have no goals, what do you have to work towards? So I set my goals with my mentees, and we work backwards from those goals, because that's what a visionary does. And I honestly love having that trait, that characteristic, because my vision can sometimes take me in places that just puts me in such a happy place, because I like thinking about happy things and to keep me on a positive note, because I know where I want my company to go. I know where I'm going in the next 5-10 years from now, and I'm just working backwards so I can hit my end goal. So like I said, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have obstacles or roadblocks, but what that does mean is that you have to be a CEO that plans for those obstacles and roadblocks. A lot of times that means making quick, impactful decisions. That is our final trait of a successful CEO. So unexpected things happen all the time when you're in business, whether you're running a Fortune 500 company or a mom and pop shop. That is just the nature of the beast. I mean, I think that's just a part of life. There are different degrees of impact on the business, but in the CEO Next Door book, the authors say a good CEO can make important decisions quickly. Part of that has to do with being proactive and staying ahead of the game, at least in your thought process. So if you spend any time at all thinking about the different ways that something could happen in your business, you'll be better prepared to respond when it does happen. In other words, you won't be caught off guard, and your decision-making process won't be as slow. Okay, you guys? So all in all, the successful CEO is an intelligent strategist who uses a good mix of good interpersonal skills and critical thinking. And this is so funny, critical thinking. When I was a nurse, well, when I went to nurse school, I'm still a nurse, obviously, but they like embedded in our heads how to critical think. So that's why I said, like, even though I wasn't happy in my job, everything that I learned being a nurse is what I apply to my business. So it was an important part of my journey for me to even do what I'm doing right now. So again, a good mix of interpersonal skills, critical thinking, reliability, proactive thinking, and perseverance to run your business. So just ask yourself, which of these skills have you grown into? Because you don't necessarily have to have the skills right now, but these are skills that you can grow into. And identify which ones are you struggling to master. It may be worth your while to read the CEO Next Door book. The women who wrote the book say that they wanted to encourage people that being a CEO was something that anyone could eventually do, and that means you. So if you want to start that business, or if you're just getting started, think back on your experiences. And I talked about my experiences as a nurse and how they have equipped me for what I'm currently doing right now. And I want you to think about your experiences and how they've equipped you for the CEO role. So I don't want you guys to get discouraged because you've made mistakes. Mistakes build character. You're supposed to learn from your past so you can do better in the future. And we all know that the future is now. So again, you guys, learn from those mistakes, because mistakes are going to happen. That's just proof that you're trying to do better. And again, just a final reminder, my mentorship 6-week online digital course, the Secret Sauce Academy, is now open, but it will be closing this week. So there are limited seatings because it will be closing this week. So if you haven't enrolled in my online 6-week mentorship course, where I am breaking down the sauce method, studying the market, having authority, knowing your audience, understanding your gift and your talents, clarifying your message so your audience will listen, and educating and empowering your consumers is a method that I created on how I launched and scale my Yale Organics and what I still continue to do today. And I'm breaking down that method and helping you map out your plan to start your business or to scale your business, and giving you the roadmap, giving you the steps to get your business from point A to point B in my online 6-week digital course. A video tutorial is uploaded every week along with worksheets, cheat sheets, again, the roadmap to success that I'm sharing with all of my mentees. So if you haven't enrolled today, enrollment is still open and will be closing this week. And if you're not signed up for my email list, you can sign up at themoniquerodriguez.com. And again, you guys, I really appreciate you guys for listening to this episode. I've had fun recording all of my podcasts and just seeing the feedback that you guys have been giving me. You guys have been uploading and taking screenshots and reposting it on your Insta story. And please continue to do so, because I like to see who's listening. So again, that's it for this episode. And don't forget to subscribe. Tell all of your business besties about the Secret Sauce to Success podcast. I'm sure some of your friends in entrepreneurship will find this information just as helpful as I hope you have. Until next time, remember to follow me at Exquisite Mo and at Myel Organics and at the Secret Sauce to Success. I will talk to you guys later. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Monique Rodriguez, the Secret Sauce to Success podcast show. Stay tuned for next week. I will talk to you guys later.